Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. The passage here says, "Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day passeth the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." Now the passage here speaks of being hid in the day of the Lord's anger. So we call this passage, "Ye shall be hid." At the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord is going to come back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as such, he's going to devour the chaff of the earth. That is, all the wicked of the earth are going to be devoured by his fire. They'll be like stubble. Before he comes, he begins to pour out his wrath on the earth through the various signs that the two witnesses have, and through the vials and the trumpets, and the seals. You can read all about that in the book of Revelation. It's bad. Not only that, the Antichrist is fiercely attacking the Jews, and so he's also got things going on that are affecting the earth. Now, in this passage, the Jews are warned to group up and pray to be hidden by the Lord. He says, "Seek the Lord, all ye meek of the earth." And then it's skipping down to the end of verse 3, "It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." You see that? If they're not hid in the days of the Lord's anger, they're going to be consumed in the Lord's wrath as well. Now, once we understand where we are in this verse, it helps us to understand other verses that are tied to this verse in this passage. And it helps us to make some sense out of some of the things we read in the book of Psalms, for instance, because a lot of the Psalms are prophetic. So as you read Zephaniah chapter 2, you're reading it as somebody that just wants to learn what it says. When a Jew reads this during the tribulation, this is how he's going to save his life from the wrath that's there and from the Antichrist and from the wrath of the Lord when he comes. Now, when the abomination of desolation stands in the holy place, the Jews are told to run in Matthew chapter 24. Flip over there with me real quick and notice the context is the tribulation. Matthew chapter 24, the Antichrist is going to set up an image called the abomination of desolation, and everybody's going to have to work it or worship it. And when the Jews see that, that is a sign to them that, hey, we got to put on our boogie shoes and get out of here. Okay. Matthew chapter 24, look at verse 15. "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth let him understand, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is in the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, but pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Now, you know this is specifically aimed at Jews because the abomination of desolation stands in the holy place. That doesn't concern you. those that are in Judea flee into the mountains, that doesn't concern you. You don't live in Judea. Those that are on the housetop and in the field, they have to go quick. They can't even go back into the house. And people are warned not to flee on the Sabbath day because now they're back under the law. And so this is all great tribulation, he says in verse 21. It's all connected with that. So if they can't go back into their house at all, they can't leave the field to go back inside their house to get clothes, and they're in Judea and they start to flee to the mountains, you know what they're going to have to do? They're going to have to depend upon the Lord to feed them and to protect them, because they won't have any way to protect themselves. They're going to be just like they were in the wilderness journey back in the book of Exodus. So what let's do now, let's take some, let's check some cross-references to this passage and see if we can put everything together sort of in a chronological order. Now in Matthew chapter 24, they flee, right? Well, when they flee, the first thing they are to do is they are to seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord. Well, look in Deuteronomy chapter 4, at verse 29. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. And the Bible says, but if ye from thence, or if from thence, thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, verse 30 says, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and thou shalt be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. So they are to seek the Lord. I mean, again, a Jew is sitting here reading the book of Deuteronomy, all this stuff is happening. He sees that he's supposed to run, and he sees then when he's in tribulation, he is to seek the Lord. Okay? He is to seek the Lord. Which is what Zephaniah said. Look in Psalm 34 and verse 10. Psalm 34 and verse 10. Psalm 34:10 says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Now a lion will get its food in the wilderness. It's used to living outdoors and it attacks other animals so that it can eat. It lives in the wilderness. The Jews are not like that. I mean, you know, they're people that live in cities, for instance, or they cultivate and eat. But when they're on the run, they're going to be like these lions. And the Lord says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Now, we're not going to run the references on this today because it's something that we handled not too long ago. But if you will look in your Bible, you will notice that the Lord is going to feed Israel with manna, just like he fed them in the wilderness. And so what that happens is they go out into the wilderness and they have nothing to eat and nothing to drink, and the Lord becomes their source of water like he was in the wilderness, and he becomes their source of food like he did with manna, and they don't want any good thing. Why? Because they've sought the Lord. They're going to need to do that in order to survive. Now, you know what Psalm 34 is about? So, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. This psalm was written when David was in exile, just like the Jews will be when they run from the Antichrist. And you know who David was exiled from? Saul, and Saul is a type of the Antichrist. All right, look in Isaiah chapter 31. Isaiah chapter 31, and look at verse 1. Isaiah 31:1, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses, and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Okay, what do you have going on here? The temptation for them when they run is going to be to run to Moab and to Ammon and to the Philistines, or the area that's inhabited by the Philistines, to Egypt, to other nations who might help them, and not seek the Lord. But they're going to have to seek the Lord and not help from the other nations, because the other nations, like Edom, we read about that prophecy in Obadiah, will just turn on them and destroy them, or when the Lord's wrath is poured out on the nation where they sought refuge, the Lord's wrath against that nation will get the Jews as well. You see, this is like what happened to the Jews when they tried to run from the Chaldeans by going down into Egypt after Jeremiah told them to stay in Judah and to trust the Lord. Look in Jeremiah chapter 42 at verse 19. Now we're right in the middle of a context. What happens is Jeremiah has assured them of safety in Judea in Jeremiah 42. But then after he reveals the prophecy to them, he realizes what's going to happen. And he says to them in verse 19, "The Lord hath said concerning you, O you remnant of Judah, go you not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day, for you dissembled in your hearts." In other words, you told me you would do whatever I told you. Now that I've told you, you're not going to do it. "You dissembled in your hearts when you sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, Pray for us unto the Lord our God. And according unto all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare it unto us, and we will do it." They weren't going to do it. They decided they wanted to go down to Egypt for help. And the Lord tells them, "You, if you want to protect yourself, it may be that you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. The first thing you have to do is seek me, not other nations. And you can't stay at home. You're going to run. Okay? Seek me." All right, the second thing that you see is, they're told that they're going to humble themselves. "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth." See that? They're going to have to be meek. And the reason is, it's the meek that he is going to save. Look in Psalm 22. And I'm giving you a few references. There are many. Psalm 22. And look at verse 26. Psalm 22 and look at verse 26. Now, we are in a psalm that is predominantly about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? But the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ was for the salvation of souls. So look in verse 26 of Psalm 22. "The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations." Now that's Second Advent. And notice right before the second coming, he says, "The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him." Well, it's not reserved for anybody else but the meek. The ones that humble themselves before the Lord. The ones who pray and depend upon God to take care of them. Look in Psalm 76 at verse 8. Psalm 76 and look at verse 8. And here the Bible says, "Thou didst cause judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still when God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth, Selah." Now we've told you, and again we're in the middle of a context. You have to read the whole psalm, but we've told you before that when you find that word Selah, you found it in Habakkuk, you've seen it in the Psalms. It is a reference to remind you about the place where the Jews are going to hide. It's called Selah Petra. Here he's used the word in verse 9. And notice things like verse 6. "At thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse are cast into a deep sleep. Thou, even thou, art to be feared, and who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry?" See that stuff about the wrath of God being poured out? And the chariot and the horse belong to the horse and his rider, the Antichrist. And the Lord comes and he says in verse 7, "Thou art to be feared." Why? Because you're angry. "Thou didst cause judgment to be heard from heaven, and earth feared and was still." That's that wrath being poured out on it. "When God arose to judgment to save" whom? "All the meek of the earth." So they've got to have to humble themselves, and they're not meek right now. A meek Jew, a meek Israelite today would accept what God has said in the Bible, and those words would point him to Jesus Christ as his Messiah, and he would receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith today. They don't have any interest in doing that right now. Matter of fact, I think Hagee went over there tried to rally the troops and let them know that Christians are behind them. And they distributed a bunch of New Testaments, and I think some of the young Israelis gathered up 10,000 of those New Testaments and burned them, destroyed them. They're not into Jesus Christ right now. And consequently, until they humble themselves and become meek, they're going to have trouble, because it's Jesus Christ who comes back. And when he comes back in flaming fire, and he takes vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, once they see all this torment, once they're following their command and they have run out, then what happens is they seek righteousness. He says in verse 3, "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment." Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. Now, when they seek righteousness, that righteousness is going to lead them, finally, to the Lord. Let's look at one passage. There, again, are others, but Psalm 24. Now, Psalm 24 is an excellent psalm. As a matter of fact, it shows you the layout, if you want to say, dispensationally, of the Bible. Psalm 22, predominantly about the crucifixion. Psalm 23, the Jews in the tribulation. Psalm 24, the second coming of Jesus Christ. All right, in Psalm 24, watch this. Seeking righteousness. Verse 1. "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord?" In other words, Jesus is coming back. Who's going to get there? Who's going to ascend into the hill of the Lord? "Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." Well, that's a righteous man. "He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob." Selah. Notice the Second Advent reference. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." So what's happened here? He says, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. That's somebody that decided he would seek the righteousness of God, and when he does, he sees the King coming in his glory and entering into the gates and into the everlasting doors of Jerusalem, and he gets to enter into the holy place with him. Quite strange, you know, he says that he can't lift up his soul unto vanity. The greatest vanity to which he could lift up his soul is going to be the Antichrist in his image, the idolatry of the age. And a Jew that's seeking righteousness will not seek to the Antichrist or to his image or to his mark or anything else that's associated with him. All right, now as a result of these things, that is, that they have fled, they've sought the Lord, they've humbled themselves, now they're meek, and they're sought righteousness. As a result of these things, the Lord will hide them. Look at the end of the verse. "It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." Now we want to concentrate on some verses concerning this, because this is the key. The Jews have got to run, and when they run out of Judea, off their housetop, out of the field, the Lord allows them to run south through southern Israel, down there by the stream, whatever flows, the valley out below the Dead Sea and above the Gulf of Aquaba. They cross over into Sela Petra. We've told you about it before, the rock city. And they hide in there, and God brings them manna. And what they'll do is they'll leave out early in the morning under the cover of a cloud, gather up the manna and run back into that city. There's only one entrance into that city. You got to go through steep cliffs, and the Lord will cover it so that nobody can get in there, and he will preserve them until he comes. Psalm 17, verses 8 and 9. Psalm 17, verses 8 and 9. "Keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings, from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about." Look at verse 7. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. So the Lord hides them under the shadow of thy wings. See that? Look in Psalm 17 again, and now verse 13. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword, from men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly, watch it, thou fillest with thy hid treasure. He speaks of the Jews as his treasure, his peculiar treasure. And here they're hidden. They are full of children, and it leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. See, because he's been seeking righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Look in Psalm 27 and verse 5. I know that we're just looking at some passages here and pulling a few things right out of the text, but it's to give you a flavor, an understanding, you know, a point of reference, so that as you do your other Bible reading and studying, you'll be able to pull these things out of other texts. Psalm 27, look at verse 5. For in the time of trouble, now remember, we've already studied the day of trouble and the time of Jacob's trouble. That's going to be the tribulation. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Now, who is it that he's hiding them from? He's hiding them from somebody trying to eat them up. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came unto me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. That's verse 2. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Well, in order to surpass that, they have to survive. And in the time of trouble, the Lord hides them in his pavilion. Now he says, and he set me upon a rock. That rock in which they hide is the rock city. It's Selah Petra. Petra, rock. That Selah Petra is the rock city. Look in Psalm 32 and verse 6. Psalm 32 and verse 6. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely, in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. And we showed you recently in another passage that there's going to be a lot of flooding around the time of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are also going to be floods of armies entering into the battle. You have a common reference to armies and to literal water in verse 6. Verse 7, Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. See that? Now that thing about being hidden by the Lord relates to what we're reading in Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3. If you seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, seek righteousness, seek meekness, it may be you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. And there he is, being hidden by the Lord in verse 7 of Psalm 32. Isaiah 32, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 32, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. Who's that? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. What have they been seeking? Righteousness. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. Who's that? Well, among others, it's going to be the disciples, because he said they'll be ruling on 12 thrones over the 12 tribes of Israel. And it's also going to be the tribulation saints from Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, who got their head cut off during the tribulation, that are raised once the devil is chained in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and they get to reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, and a man shall be as an hiding place. The man is Jesus Christ. A man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, because there's going to be a whirlwind when Jesus comes, and a covert, that's a hiding place or a covering, from the tempest, that's what comes with the Lord Jesus Christ, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Now, I'm just pointing out a few references, but you can go through your Bible, you'll find other references like that that shows you that the Lord Himself becomes the hiding place for them, or He shadows them, and the place they reside is in Sela Petra, so that, and we looked at the path of the Second Advent when we were studying through Habakkuk the other day, and we noticed that He has to go through Mount Seir and up there to Sela Petra to gather the Jews that are hiding so they can mount their white asses and travel with us on white horses across the Jordan River and to defeat the Antichrist and allow the Lord Jesus Christ to be set upon His throne. So you got a whole lot of stuff going on here. Zephaniah chapter 2 verses 1 through 3 then shows you what the Jews will need to do in order to protect themselves during the tribulation right before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, so they're not consumed in the Lord's anger and not consumed by His wrath by running to, you know, some other nation to get help or whatever. Once again, Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, gather yourselves together. They gather together in Sela Petra. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired. That's about the only friends they have are the United States of America, and our friendship is getting more tenuous all the time. Before the decree bring forth, before the day passeth the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. That's what precedes the second coming. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought His judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness, it may be you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. And certainly they are hid and fed and watered, waiting on His arrival. Well, there's a passage there for you, and I know we bled a lot of the stuff that was out of that passage through other cross-references. More study will even give you more than what we gave you, but obviously we have a limited amount of time, so we pray it's done you some good.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.